to call the regular meeting of council to order on June 9, 2016. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
Councilwoman Jennifer Summers Greer. Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet R. Mica.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
Councilman Christopher L. Byrow.
Here.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
And Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present. Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to excuse Councilwoman Greer's absence tonight. Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilman Byrow to excuse Councilwoman Jennifer Greer from this evening's meeting. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none.
Hollum.
Yes.
Mica.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Byrow.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Councilwoman Greer has been excused from this evening's meeting. The next order is the disposition of the journal for the regular council meeting minutes of May 26.
Madam President.
Councilman Fiebig.
Move the council adopt the regular council meeting minutes of May 26, 2016.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig, a second from Councilman Byrow to accept the meeting minutes of May 26. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none.
Hollum.
Yes.
Mica.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Byrow.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The regular council meeting minutes of May 26 have been adopted. The next order of business is correspondence. Concerning correspondence, notification, and minutes, I'm not going to ask the clerk to read these as this will allow for more time for business this evening, and they will be listed in the journal as they are on this night evening's agenda. The next order of business would be our mayor's report. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I've been informed by the county airport that an email will be forthcoming which indicates the Secret Service, which indicates that the Cuyahoga County Airport will be under temporary flight restrictions during the week of the RNC. Cuyahoga County Airport is suspending all noise abatement restrictions during that time because of traffic needs for immediate turnout. As soon as I receive the written communication, I'll be posting it on our website and notifying the residents in the area so they can be aware of the inconvenience. The Noise Abatement Council of July 14th has been canceled due to the RNC, but the next meeting is set for October 13th. My veto letter ordinance 2016-25 is available on the city website outlining my reasons for the veto decision. I encourage residents to read this for a clearer understanding and acknowledge my continued support for our part-time police officers as well as other hardworking individuals in our safety force and administration. Pep Insurance made a site visit at the City Hall complex today and 2 days ago. They will prepare an executive report to present to council and myself at a later date, probably next week sometime. Thanks to Larry O'Donnell for all the hard work that he did at the Memorial Day ceremony. Upcoming events, the Shred Day is this Saturday, 9 to noon. Lake County United Way Dairy Caring is Wednesday, June 22nd, beginning at 9 o'clock. And please contact Gloria, my office assistant, my executive assistant to volunteer. And And the Willoughby Hills Day at Classic Park is Sunday, July 3rd at 1 o'clock. If you notice, the last couple days, it's been maybe hard to reach City Hall. It's because our phone system failed. We have purchased a new phone system which utilizes the same telephones, but our phone system that we have that's 9 years old is the company went out of business, and the parts are relatively unavailable to fix, so we purchased a new one. And the air conditioner in the IT room, which is where this is housed, also took a failure, and that's going to be fixed Saturday. In the meantime, we have a temporary air conditioner in there, and it's cooling it down. But tomorrow, the phone system should be correct. I am presenting to Council New Ordinance 2016 for a 3% pay increase for all salaried and non-union employees, including the Council Clerk, if they deem this, if Council deems necessary. I would appreciate waiving the 3-day, 2-day notification rule and passing this ordinance tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Are there any questions for the mayor this evening? Seeing none, the next order of business is our law director's report. Mr. Loewy.
Just one preliminary matter, and our legal luck was running out a little bit. Insurance company, the last claim was that box up on Chardon Road, which I don't know if it's going to be covered. I'm working with the police chief to see if there's even going to be any insurance, which I predicted last time. I didn't think that there would be, and I don't think there is now based upon all the factors enumerated. But we also have a new claim that we're just going to be forwarding for a little incident involving a police car and running over a foot, and that's being forwarded to our new insurance carrier, so we'll see how they react to that, which is just something unfortunate, but it happens. Just so you know, you might be hearing about it as we go forward. That's it. Nothing further.
Thank you, Tom. Any questions for the law director this evening? Seeing none, our finance director's report, Mr. Perpichek.
A couple of matters. I received notification from Lorraine Vendy, the Lake County Treasurer, that two tax lien sales have occurred, which will result in the city receiving approximately $20,000 in delinquent property taxes. Not a lot, but every little bit helps. The approximate cost of the phone system failure and the compressor failure will be between $20,000 to $21,000, and I believe that we'll be able to absorb that within the building maintenance budget. And the local share of the Route 91 paving project was transferred to the Lake County Engineer's office this week, so that project should be hopefully on track. And finally, in the next council meeting, I'll be introducing as an ordinance the 2017 tax budget, and that should be posted most likely next week.
Thank you, Frank. Any questions for the finance director this evening?
Mr. Perpichek?
Councilor Hebe?
Doesn't that have to be passed by June 30th, the tax budget?
No, the tax budget has to be adopted by council by no later than July 15th.
July
15th. And filed with the County Budget Commission by no later than July 20th.
Okay.
Thank you. And then our next is our engineer, Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Madam President. I just wanted to discuss the intersection of Bishop and White Road briefly. We had been discussing with ODOT the possibility of installing a permanent signal there as an upgrade to the temporary signal that they're planning to install as part of a bridge rehab project in Richmond Heights. The city would be responsible for the full cost of the upgrade, which is estimated to be about $50,000. A couple years ago, we did a traffic study at that intersection. intersection in response to several complaints of delays. But the traffic study found that the delays were only occurring in morning and afternoon rush hours, and they appear to have stopped since we did the study. So based on the lack of complaints and the cost of the signal, we decided not to proceed with the permanent study. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Pete. Any questions for the engineer this evening? Just Councilman Phoebe.
Pete, wasn't that cost about $110? Mayor, wasn't it about $110 to put a signal in there permanently?
That would have been the city cost initially, but the upgrade cost to go from temporary to permanent by ODOT was only around $50.
Are we saving, for example, if we did go ahead with it, is there significant enough savings? Am I hearing $60,000 we would save because we're already spending $50?
No, we're not spending anything. ODOT is responsible for all the costs associated with the temporary signal. But if the city elects to upgrade to a permanent signal, we would be responsible for the full upgrade cost of $50,000.
But that's better than $110,000 if we were to just, say, do this on our own at some point.
Correct. However, the recommendation of the study said the delays were only occurring for a short time in the morning and afternoon.
Rush hour around that can be difficult. Do you know how many accidents we've had in that intersection? Mayor?
No. I find out from our study
again. What's the date that you have to know this if we did consider it and wanted to move forward with putting a light there? Because I know some residents have expressed interest in having a light there, but again, it's a cost-benefit analysis that we have to do. And at this time, if we already have some infrastructure there, and would there be a significant savings over doing it, say, 5 years from now, maybe we should consider doing it.
Yeah, ODOT would need official legislation from council by October 7th.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Take that under advisement.
Madam President, one follow-up question. I believe one of the reasons we're a little bit hesitant to put up the stoplight is because there's ongoing costs. Could you remind us what the maintenance of that stoplight would be on an annual basis, roughly?
Yeah, I wouldn't have any idea what the cost would be, but obviously the electricity cost as well as any maintenance cost for repairs, replacement of lights, things like that.
Would that be significant on an annual basis?
Honestly, I have no idea.
No, they're all LEDs now, excuse me.
Yeah.
With LED lights, though, that was the point I was going to make. It's probably a significant savings of electricity.
Probably minimal, right, yeah.
Anyone else? Thank you, Pete. So our next order of business are committee reports. I believe the first one, well, I want to mention, so Councilman Helm has called the Planning and Zoning Committee of Council next Tuesday, June 14th, correct? At 6 p.m.? Okay.
Mr. Helm, I can't make it because I'm with the BZA at the same time, just so you know. Okay. Not slighting, just not showing up.
Thank you. So Recreation Committee of Council had a meeting last Thursday night with many of the members of the Recreation Committee there, and Councilwoman Micah is going to read Councilwoman Greer's minutes this evening. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so this was a report respectfully submitted by Jennifer Summers Greer, who is the chair of the Recreation Committee of Council. Meeting was called to order at 6:40 p.m. on June 2, 2016. Present were committee members Chair Jennifer Summers Greer, myself, and Chris Biro. Also present were Council President Nancy Fellows and Mayor Robert Wigger. Jennifer Greer opened the meeting, explaining that the primary reason for the meeting was to discuss Council declaring a public purpose and allocating funds for a picnic proposed by the Recreation Commission. Denise Edwards, Recreation Coordinator, explained that the Recreation Commission wants to take the $5,500 to $6,000 earned from pancake breakfasts and craft shows to fund a picnic on September 11, 2016. The picnic is estimated to cost between $2,500 and $3,000. Denise asked Frank Brickacek to leave the proceeds in the 280 fund to use for the picnic, and what is left over will be transferred to the 460 fund. The picnic will be held at the Willoughby Hills VFW. The agenda for the picnic will be a memorial service from 11 to 12. From 12 to 2, there will be a swing band. From 2:30 to 6 p.m., Lynn Hallam's brother will DJ. From 1 to 6 p.m., there will be family-style games with prizes and inflatables, including a 52-foot obstacle course. Denise also stated that they want a cornfest feel, so they will sell ears of corn. The Browns game will be playing in the bar. The VFW will provide food and will serve alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks. Denise also emphasized that she does not want this to be a festival and that we need to teach kids to respect first responders. It was discussed the council would need to approve the public purpose as advised by Tom Lobey. Council would also need to approve the expenditure since it was not included in the 2016 budget as approved. Chris Biro asked why this picnic would need to be approved when the pancake breakfasts do not. Mayor Weger indicated that the difference is the pancake breakfast is held on city property, while this picnic would be on private property but funded with public money. Councilwoman Greer expressed two concerns that September 11th is a solemn day and touch a truck is 5 days later. Denise indicated that this wouldn't interfere with the Touch a Truck event. Councilwoman Micah said, this sounds a lot like a festival, even though you are calling it a picnic. She wanted to know how the Rec Commission would advertise it. Steve Trednick of the VFW said that they have a Lutheran minister as a member and he will give a solemn benediction and rightful salute. He believes it's a good way to set the tone. He does not believe it's a good idea to call it another cornfest. Councilwoman Micah said that she likes the idea of having it at the VFW. She wants to make sure if the Rec Commission is spending that much money on an event that it will be successful. Denise said that the date came about only because the Rec Commission wanted to have a festival, and by the time they looked for dates, the only date available at the community center was September 11th, 2016. They decided then that they would have it on September 11th, but there wouldn't be rides like a carnival. Recreation Commission member Lynn Hallam said, we should use the picnic to build a sense of community. Recreation Commission member Sandy Grubis said that Willoughby Hills does not have a sense of community. She only knows her neighbors because she makes an effort to do so. A representative from the VFW asked if they would be required to have some type of service. Denise said, yes, the service is important. She also said that the VFW would sell food as a fundraiser and Wags for Warriors would be there as well. The Rec Commission wanted food trucks, but they did not have council approval on time. There may be other fundraisers at the picnic, but it has not been decided on yet. Councilman Biro asked if the safety forces would be involved. Denise said they plan on asking them and that they would receive a food voucher. The VFW rep asked if we could have a fire engine there. Lynn Hallam said that the Rec Commission does a lot for kids, but not a lot for families. Councilman Biro liked how the picnic is a celebration of life. Chair Jennifer Greer asked if this will be in conflict with other long-standing 9/11 events. She believed there are events in Menor in Painesville. Denise said, we only want to target people from Willoughby Hills. Kyle Overmeyer of the Recreation Department said, we don't want people from Menor and Painesville necessarily to look to come to this particular picnic. Public portion was opened at 7:05. Dale Fellows spoke and said he's involved in the 9/11 Painesville event, but that it is a very different event, and they place flags for all of the lives lost, but the times will likely overlap with the Willoughby Hills event. He stated he believes there is a memorial event in Willoughby as well. Mr. Fellows was concerned that St. Noel's Mass on Sunday at 11 o'clock is going to be at the exact time the picnic is scheduled to start. Denise responded that Mr. Fellows finished by agreeing that bringing the community together is positive. but he expressed concern that 9/11 is not the solemn day that you want to do it. Council President Nancy Fellows inquired whether the Rec Commission would want to keep this event on 9/11 every year. Kyle said the commission does want to keep the event on 9/11 every year. Council President Fellows asked how they would have all of those activities as 9/11 does not fall on a weekend every year. Kyle said it would be at night. Denise said they do not know if the event would continue to be a celebration of life or if it would just become an annual picnic. Denise indicated the commission just wanted approval for this year to see how it goes, and the public portion closed at 7:28. Committee decided that this proposal should be considered by council and be put on first reading at the 6/9/2016 meeting, which is tonight. Denise requested that council pass the ordinance on first reading. Council President Fellows noted that Frank Brickacek will need to manage the finances. Denise offered to work with Frank to get the appropriations prepared. The new business had to do with the proposed rental increases, which are on third reading tonight. Denise explained that we have the proposed changes attached to the legislation, which is before us right now at council. Our rental rates were compared to other cities, and Willoughby Hills is still very reasonably priced. They want to increase the deposit to make sure that people do not use the current low deposit to take advantage of a cleaning fee. The current $100 deposit does not even come close to repairing things in the kitchen or cleaning up extreme messes if that happens. A comparison was made to Wycliffe. They rent their pavilions in three-hour blocks, while Willoughby Hills rents in daily blocks. If we did the three-hour blocks, we'd have to also pay maintenance staff to clean up and prepare for the next event. The committee agreed that these modest increases should be passed, and if the increased deposits negatively affect rental income, we can reevaluate at a later time. Meeting was adjourned at 7:38. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilwoman Mica. Are there any questions, or Councilman Byer, was there anything you might want to add since you were in attendance as well?
Just that there was support both ways for, you know, having it on a specific, having both events a specific day. And I personally believe that, you know, it is a solemn occasion, and we had assurances that that would be the case. But I also, as I commented, it's also a celebration of life, and that, you know, we need to continue on and you know, enjoy our freedom, and, per se, even though the initial part is solemn. So those are my thoughts on that.
Thank you. Any questions?
I have one.
Councilman Phoebe?
Chris, was there any, there was just a reference to the Touch a Truck event, which is a great family event. It's well attended. Was there discussion of just moving this event and the picnic atmosphere and the, bringing the community together to make Touch a Truck a little bit of a larger event?
Well, the discussion, you know, Touch a Truck, it's my feeling was that, or the sense was that Touch a Truck was to be segregated, was a separate event. In fact, they, you know, the question was whether or not we should bring some, you know, some fire trucks over, and I'm not sure about availability, but they didn't want to interfere with Touch a Truck as a separate event, so there was really no discussion on it, except that they may bring a truck over, but not to, you know, not to take away from Touch a Truck itself, but certainly the safety forces would be appreciated, you know, be appreciated to have their support and involvement, but not like Touch a Truck. That's the impression.
Seems to me that, just a final comment, that it would seem to make sense as a community, because the community doesn't see, oh, that's a separate event. They just see it's an event. They don't know, well, the fire department's behind that, or the rec commission's behind this, or the rec department's behind it. They just look at it as a community event, and you're holding one like 5-6 days away from this well-attended community event where a helicopter flies here and the whole city sees it. And I just don't understand why we're not working together on that and make that one event that's become an annual event here, and it's pretty well attended. And I know kids love it. Why we're, if the emphasis is to bring out the community and have children and bounce houses and DJs and things like that, why not do it on the same day? So that's where my quandary is, that on that. I don't understand why we're having two events within a week of each other that are almost competing for eyeballs and ears and feet.
We may have a chance to hear from recreation on, right, on what their thoughts on that. So,
right,
you know, regardless, you know, we'll see. It's recreation's event and see what their thoughts are on that.
So I would like to speak
forward to that.
I can tell you that as someone who has younger kids that go to touch truck, by the time we're done with the touch truck part, they're exhausted. They just want to go home and go to sleep. So to admit, if you remember, we did that one time where we kind of connected the Corn Fest with the touch truck, and it was not very successful, the other part, because that's what happened. The kids went over to the thing, over the touch truck, they were exhausted, families took their kids home to nap, and that's pretty much the day. So I think the feeling was, let's leave that way. The families can do the touch truck thing, and then let's have another separate event where it's about community and talking and sitting down and having conversations, as opposed to standing in line for the kids to touch trucks and get in vehicles and that kind of stuff. So that's been my experience personally with kids and with other friends of ours that have kids, seeing the same thing. Thank you.
Thank you. And during public portion, Denise, if you'd like to come forward, you're very welcome to do so. Thank you. Okay. The next committee report would be Rules and Legislation. So Rules and Legislation met Monday, June 6th. We started at 6:30 p.m. Councilman Micah and myself were present, and Vice President John Pleshnik was teaching at Cleveland State, so he couldn't attend. Also present were Councilman Byron Hallam and our mayor. The first order of business, because the recreation coordinator was here, as well as other members of the Recreation Commission, Dee Germano, Sandy Grubis, Gene Caston, and Jim Welsh, we decided to take that information first because we knew we would be discussing the motion for public purpose first. So Council President Fells indicated she wholeheartedly supports a memorial event on 9/11 to recognize those that lost their lives in a terrorist attack and to recognize our first responders at the VFW. She also supports a community event, be it a picnic or a festival, but not 9/11. Councilwoman Micah agrees with Council President. Though since the VFW is on board with both venues, then marketing should have two separate distinctions, be bracketed. The approach can make a difference on feelings of activity on this date. Also in the future, look not to have a community festival on 9/11. Councilman Byrow concurs with the VFW having both a memorial service and event on 9/11. This is also a celebration of life and is an event that can bring our community together. Recreation Commissioner Member Jim Walsh stated, since the veterans support this on 9/11, this should not be a concern. This is also a celebration of freedom. Public portion for this part of the meeting began at 6:52. Frank Sahula asked that the liquor license at the VFW could be checked for selling alcohol to participants at an event on their grounds. Linda Fulton had concerns aligned with safety and parking on the VFW property. Asked why Campbell Park was not considered for the event, the Recreation Commission indicated that it had not been considered. Linda also inquired if our service department would be involved in setup, and the Recreation Commission stated no. Dale Fellows stated he is very supportive of a memorial service on 9/11 and also a community event, but not the event that is described for 9/11. Personal opinion concerning alcohol at a community family event. While a swing band and DJ are being considered, what about patriotic music? It's good to involve our community at the VFW as it brings awareness to that organization. And lastly, the Browns game would be at 1 p.m. That public portion ended at 7:05 p.m. President Fellows indicated, from information distributed from the finance director, no ordinance is necessary to appropriate funds as the funds are available. However, a motion of council will be needed to declare this event a public purpose. This portion of the meeting adjourned at 7 p.m. and I thanked all that participated. The other information or agenda items for the legislation and rules meeting were legislation for this evening's meeting. The first one will be ordinance number 2016-22. This is on third reading. And it's an ordinance amending Campbell Park and the community center's rental fees for both residents and non-residents. The Recreation Commission and Recreation Coordinator strongly recommend that the security deposit be raised due to repairs and replacement of property and also cleaning. The Rules and Legislation Committee of Council recommends adopting this ordinance and see what happens futuristically in terms of rentals. If the rates are too high, we certainly can adjust them. Ordinance 2016-26 is on third reading. An ordinance providing for a 3% increase in wages and benefits of part-time hourly members of the fire department. The Rules and Legislation Committee of Council recommends adopting this ordinance. Ordinance 2016-27 is also on third reading. An ordinance fixing the compensation of the position of the police chief. The Rules and Legislation Committee of Council recommends adopting this ordinance.
Ordinance 2016-29 is on second reading. This is an ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into an agreement with Tower Co. for the lease of surplus city property located at 2454 River Road, which is at the Grange. The commission of the city, the passing of this ordinance is on the contingency that this project is reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission of the city, and there's a public hearing for said property since this site is located in a residential area. Because this is a time-sensitive project, the Rules and Legislation of Committee recommends that the three-reading rule be waived and this ordinance be adopted. Ordinance 2016-30 is also on second reading, an ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into an agreement with Tower Co. for the lease of city property located in a vacant lot on West Miller Road. The passing of this ordinance is on the contingency that this project is reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission of the city. Because this is a time-sensitive project, the Rules and Legislation Committee of Council also recommends that the three-reading rule be waived and the ordinance be adopted. Ordinance 2016-34 is on first reading. This is an ordinance to declare 8 light bars from the police cruisers as surplus equipment, each valuing about $300 for a total of $2,400. The Rules and Legislation Committee of Council recommends waiving the three-reading rule and adopting this ordinance. The next one is resolution number 2016-9. This is first reading. A resolution recognizing the Chagrin River Watershed Partners for their 20 years of dedication and knowledge to preserve our waterways. The Rules and Legislation Committee of Council recommends waiving the three-reading rule and adopting the ordinance. Old business, the status of ordinance number 2016-25, which was an ordinance providing for a 3% increase in the wages and benefits of the part-time hourly members of the police department, including dispatch. And as the mayor indicated earlier, this was adopted May 26th, but he... by the majority of council, but he has vetoed this. I have a lot of verbiage here I would like, and I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to have Vicki put this to all the council members so they can read this. So if they have any questions or concerns or additions or corrections, then you can do so, because a lot of it's just things that people said back and forth. The other business on April 28th was the resolution 2016-7 was adopted recognizing the city's public safety dispatchers for their dedicated service to the city of Willoughby Hills. Once resolution 2016-9 is passed recognizing the Chagrin River Watershed Partners on its 20th anniversary, it was recommended by the members of Rules and Legislation that these representatives should be brought forward to council so we could present the resolutions to them. It was also recommended that there be a motion of council to honor retired Chief Harmon with a resolution for his dedication for years of service to the city of Willoughby Hills as well, so that will be drafted by Vicki. Public portion opened at 8:09. Frank Zahula voices disagreement with doubling residence fees to rent Campbell Park from $25 to $50. Also concerned with the cost that is cited on the ordinance concerning the opening and closing of the park, which was $120. He prefers to have the cost deleted from the ordinance, and a few grammatical errors need to be corrected. Linda Fulton indicated that the Personal Relations Committee has met 3 times, not 4. As with any committee recommendation, what actions council decides is up to them. Initially, she did not realize that there were individuals in the administration that had received raises, therefore moved forward to address the police and fire. She encouraged council members to attend committee meetings, even if they're not members of council, members of the committee. Lastly, she was concerned with electronics being used at the council table, especially what she observed as texting back and forth. Dale Fellows, he said he understood that the Personal Relations Committee was to review all positions, even those that were already given raises. Concerning Councilman Barrow's comment on disrespect, Mr. Fellows stated that he is appalled at the behavior from the administrative staff in the past, both to council members and to the public. In the private sector, individuals displaying this behavior would be fired. Individuals need to remember their role whenever they may be in or out of a current community. And concerning discrimination, how is one discriminated against if they're at the top of the pay range? As an active resident in the community, I cannot ever remember when a mayor has given raises without council's approval. Let the Personal Relations Committee work on salary caps, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, and look at the common denominator for why this dissension is occurring. Public portion closed at 8:26. I thanked everyone for being there and for being very candid and frank in their comments. I'm open to any questions or concerns at this time.
Just a little one about the dispatchers. Did you say you wanted to invite the dispatchers here to get the proclamation?
We passed a resolution for them.
Correct.
And so we would like to present it to them. So the evening that we also would have representatives from the Sugar River Watershed, we would ask some dispatchers to come to accept that resolution from us.
But aren't they, time-wise, they're spread out, and we wouldn't want to have to pay them to get it, so it'd be a voluntary thing or a representative.
I mean, like everybody, I think a representative.
That's what I just wanted to clear up, what you were asking.
You said 7, and then nighttime there is usually one person.
Okay.
So yeah. It might be hard.
Yeah, there's only one and we can't pull them.
Yeah, so, right. I think I said representative.
Okay.
I thought I said representative.
That's what I wanted to clear up. So if we get a representative here, that'd be great. Okay, thank you.
That representative would be awarded the resolution.
Okay, nice idea.
Thank you. Okay. Let's see. Are there any other things anybody wants to say about their committees?
Madam President.
Councilman Hale.
Planning and Zoning met last Thursday. We approved a new attached garage, also a another resident that's putting a porch, an addition on his front porch, and a garage. And then also we talked in unfinished business during Planning Commission about how Mr. Babuder came back to discuss his concerns over some conditions that were placed on the permit that he received. We were able to work all those things out amicably with Mr. Babuder, and I think we're all set now, so hopefully that's good.
Any questions for Councilman Hallam? Okay, seeing none. Okay. Working committee and council. Any other council representative reports? Public portion. So public portion is an opportunity for anyone from the public to come forward and speak their mind about something that's going on in the city or ask a question. Sometimes we can't answer the questions right at the council table, so we might have to defer that to someone from administration or from someone from us for additional time to do that. You have approximately 3 minutes. Please, when you come forward, state your name and your address for the record, and I will open public portion at 7:38 p.m. You can come forward to the mic. Thank you.
Hi, guys. I'm Vi Rapena from 521 Pebblebrook Drive. Is there any chance of having the runoff from Eddy Road be diverted down Eddy Road in lieu of going into my property, which we try so diligently to keep so nice? The water runs down. We have it covered with rocks and it isn't working right. It should be diverted down Eddy Road instead of our yard.
We will come back to answer you after public portion. Do you have a phone number that...
Can we just get it privately?
Yeah, we can get it privately from you. Okay.
My name is Steve Trudnick. Some of you know me. I'm a trustee, and I'm also the property manager at Ruby Hills DFW. I've been working with Denise for the last several months over this celebration of 9/11. I'll give you the thoughts of what we represent at the DFW. Our basic motto is duty, honor, and country. We do not vary from that. That's what we believe. That's how we serve. That's how we go on. And this was approached to us about a 9/11 celebration. I could go on to a lot of holidays, like Memorial Day or something like that, where, yes, I would be offended. I'd be very offended at how it's landed in a lot of communities when I see a Memorial Day sale. I don't see everybody across the street at the Memorial Day service. That offends me. But to honor 9/11, people that gave up their lives as a result of a terrorist attack, and first responders who were doing their jobs, to hold them in esteem is far, very far from being patronizing in any way. And if the VFW supports this, we support this in a way that we will be prayerful, we will we're respectful. We'll have a benediction. We will have our honor guard, who we do so far this year 28 veterans' funerals at Quinton National Cemetery. Be there for a rifle salute. And yes, I lived in Willoughby Hills for 37 years. I didn't know my neighbors. We didn't have functions here. Maybe you had a pancake breakfast, and you had a touch of truck, which I did bring my kids. Did I meet anyone here? No. So when Denise approached us with this idea of holding an event where people could get together and celebrate life as a result of a terrible tragedy, yeah, we're all in for that. I think it's notable. And I think as a community, we would support it. You know, in a lot of communities, back to my roots in Pennsylvania, all of you would probably belong to a VFW, an ad veteran, an American Legion, because that was always part of the focus of the community. Every veteran organization was. And if you didn't have a membership in it, you really didn't fit into the community. So I think what Denise is trying to do is trying to reestablish this for your community and have a focus from veterans, which we would be proud and open, because that's why we serve. For all you guys to be here right now, and this is not rhetoric, but we serve, so you can have a meeting like this. I can talk and say what I want to say with no repercussions, and I paid my dues. And I'm not offended if the city wants to have a celebration of life at VFW Post. And we'd be very honored to work with the city to have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Denise Edwards, Recreation Coordinator. I know there are a couple things that you asked me to address, and I will. I just wanted to give a few notes first, if I could. This is the fourth meeting within the past week that we've been asked to attend, and not all the members could make it this evening. So I just wanted to say to everybody, all members are residents that help develop, maintain, and oversee programs for the city. Please keep in mind that they are residents when you're voting this evening. We've been fortunate, when in doubt, the VFW has given us guidance and support. They have helped us set the tone for the day. As Steve mentioned, they have been fabulous. When we started with the day, we weren't sure if it was going to be appropriate or inappropriate, and they really helped us to get through it, to decide that it's a picnic that's going to be for families, to respect all, to make sure that our first responders here in the city are acknowledged. We want them, their presence there. We want everybody to be involved. You know, as far as outside events, we're not sure what's going on. We know that we want it to be a somber day, everybody keeps saying, but at the same time, I see across the street all the time funerals, supposed to be somber days. Every time I ask somebody, what do you want on the sign? I want it to be a celebration of their life. So again, this is a celebration of life. We don't want the terrorists to win. We want everybody to be together as a community. Also, we promise, as always, to be respectful and always keep the city's reputation in mind, as we do with all of our events. So I just wanted to make sure that I said that to you this evening. As far as the events go, I just wanted to, I know Jennifer took notes from the meetings, wanted to just clarify, as far as it being 9/11 in the future, we don't know. This is the first time, and again, this was the date that just came about. That evening, it was not Kyle that was going back and forth about the date. It was myself, and Steve was involved as well, deciding that, you know, even if we didn't do an event, maybe we'd do a memorial service, and maybe we would have a picnic or some sort on a different day in the future. Also, the 52-foot obstacle course is part of the two inflatables that we would be renting. It's not in addition to, and there would be family games like the three-legged race, going back to the old days, you know, the sack races, things like that, that we would have prizes for. And then one other thing on the prices, the pavilions, that was in comparison with Willowick, not Wycliffe. Were there any questions for me that I can help give some more information or insight? I'm sorry, Councilman Fiebig, you mentioned about Touch a Truck. This year, we are getting very involved with Touch a Truck. from what I know, I've been here for 4 years. In the past, before I came, recreation was kind of in charge of touch a truck. At some point, the fire department took it over. And as Councilman Hallam mentioned, it is one of those events that you're in line. You're constantly moving. The kids want to see everything. We wanted this to be more of a relaxing day where we get back to just families and families in the community. And everybody outside of the community is invited as well. I think the quote, as far as you know, people coming from Painesville and Mentor, that might have been taken out of context. It's not that we don't care if they come. We're inviting everybody. But more importantly, the people of Willoughby Hills. Anything I can answer for anybody?
Thank you.
Thank you, Denise.
Jenna?
My name is Jenna Bing, and I'm at 36951 Beach Hills Drive, I think. Over there. It's changing the subject a little. I try to come to as many council meetings as I can, but I can't come to all of them. And I get really frustrated with the inability to see what happened in a timely way. So 2 weeks ago you had a meeting. The minutes get approved tonight, and they'll get posted sometime in the next 2 weeks. So if something happened in that meeting, I don't have a way to come and respond to it. The only thing I see is it's a second reading of a ordinance. So I don't have a timely way to respond to what happened at the last meeting. So I thought, well, how do I do this? And I've asked about the minutes in the past before, and I believe I was told that the minutes that are approved are a transcript of the tape, of a digital tape that is made. And I understand that I thought I was told the digital tape was the official minutes, even though the others get approved, the written gets approved. So what I was wondering, since it's digital and we're in the world of digital now and I've taped a lot of things, that's usually sticking the tape recorder into a computer, and can't that be uploaded as a temporary minutes or a preliminary minutes and you can listen to the audio? I thought about trying to tape the meeting minute, the meeting on the TV, but my neighbor said that she tries to watch it and it's really difficult and it doesn't work real well sometimes and you don't hear everything. So I'm sure the digital tape picks up everything. So I was wondering if there was a way to put in some temporary minutes, and then as soon as the ones are approved and you have the written ones, then just replace it or do something. It should be fairly easy electronically today to do that. So that's my suggestion, so that people that can't make the meeting, if they see something or hear something really quickly, they can respond instead of being way behind it trying to catch up and make comments on what is going on in the village. Okay?
That's all.
Thanks, Jenna.
My name is Ron Tippin. I'm a trustee at the VFW Post 4358. September 11th, 2001 was a tragedy. A severe enough tragedy that we were attacked on our homeland. Let's fast forward now. I would listen to the minutes. 14 and a half years later, the complaint about 9/11 now that I heard you read was the fact that it was a Browns game that day. Really? That's more important than the celebration of life for 9/11. That disgusts me. That's all.
Thank you. Anyone else for public portion this evening? Mr. Delaney.
I'm Chris Delaney. I live at 37960 Valley Brook Drive in Libby Hills. I'm a new member of the Personnel Relations, so I think it's committee. I never can keep track of what's committees, what's... I'm here to talk about the 3% raise, but more importantly, I'm here to talk about the dysfunction of the way the city is being run. I know that you are split in your groups into who supports what kind of thing. And I find that that's politics, and it is very, very upsetting. Your job is to maximize the value of living in Willoughby Hills, and that's the way you should address things. Your group decided that you needed a personnel relations committee to look at the expenditures on personnel because it's the largest item in the budget, and that made sense to me, and that's why I agreed to do it. My friend Peter Osenar asked me to do it. John Pletchnik conveyed the message, but it's not because of John, it's because of Peter that I decided to do it. So we've had three meetings, and we haven't gotten a lot done, and that's disappointing. But when we heard at the last meeting that the mayor had given 3% raises, that came as a shock to everybody there. I don't pretend to know and understand the workings of the council. I've only been to three meetings, and I apologize for that. But I do know about how to administer personnel, because I've done it for 20 years in very successful corporations and organizations, for profit and not for profit. I understand how to do ranges. I can give lessons on to anyone, even including the esteemed Frank Brickcheck, who I have great respect for. But I've done this. Ranges are designed to set parameters. They are designed to reward people as they move up within ranges based on years of seniority and excellence of performance. That's what they're for. They should be changed on the basis of what council wants and the mayor want to accomplish within positions, but that should be done deliberately. I do know that giving across-the-board raises is a classic way not to incentivize excellent performance within any organization, because if the least gets it for doing nothing, those who work hardest find it harder to increase their motivation to do that. It has to come then internally, which is not to say it doesn't, but it's the wrong way to go about it. Your job is to take the resources that are apparently dwindling as our revenues go down and use them as best you can to make it a good place to live and work. So you're responsible for my values and for everybody else's values in here. The fact that you have enough money to do it, to give those raises, does not mean you should. If you did a public vote on that, I'll bet anyone here any amount of money that they want to that it wouldn't pass. Because we want lower taxes, and we want good roads, and we want to be a good place to relocate businesses and people. I really am asking all of you to stop the politics and start talking to one another, and to start working together to say, hey, how can we spend the limited resources of the city? 3% raise is not the way to go. With great respect, Mayor, the argument that you made about age discrimination doesn't cut it. It's just wrong. It wouldn't, there's just no way that would carry when you're trying to give raises for the public groups. I urge you to pass the legislation. I urge you to forget who you're voting with or for, and to pass the legislation and give the mayor another chance to not veto it. But if he does, then to go over to go to pass it. You know what I mean?
Override.
Override. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mayor Fritti, 730 Pembroke Drive. Let's all take a deep breath. Inhale and just relax and understand the responsibility that you were elected to do. Okay? Each and every one of you, look into yourself and say, am I doing this for the betterment of this city, or am I doing this on a personal basis? And I remind you, I'm proud to be American. I'm proud that I was born in the United States. And you talk about your two children over there. You know what VFW stands for?
Veterans of Foreign Wars.
Veterans of Foreign Wars. I spent 24 years in the military defending the rights for each and every one of you up here to voice your opinions. And I want those opinions to be voiced with civility, with understanding, and respect for us people who live in Willoughby Hills. That's all we ask of you. There's no discrimination, no bias, or nothing in my heart against any one of you. And I know most all of you, and I respect all of you. Now, all I ask is you respect us. Thank you.
Doris?
Hi, I am Doris Dodge. I live at 37881 Milam Drive. Willoughby Hills has the highest paid secretary in the county, if not the state. Now, you want to award more. If anyone deserves a raise, it should be our first responders, our police and firemen. They put their lives on the line for us every single day. Frankly, Mr. Mayor and Council, if I have an emergency in my home when my life or my property is in danger, I am going to be calling 911 for police and fire. I will not be calling the secretarial staff. And I would like to have this reconsidered. And maybe you would change your mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else this evening for public portion? All right, I will close public portion at 7:58 p.m. The next order of business is legislation. And just a couple of things that I want to mention. I call them tips from Roberts. Roberts rules. So our last council meeting, two of our council members were out of line. They were out of order. It will not be tolerated. It's not respectful, and it's not professional. I learned a lot at the last meeting, and from now on, unless you are acknowledged by the president to speak, you will be considered out of order. Policy 7 of Council. Which we all need to be reminded of, apparently. States, if any member of Council in attendance at a Council meeting or a committee meeting fails to obey or abide by the Chair's ruling when one is ruled out of order more than twice at any given meeting, that disruptive behavior shall be grounds for expulsion from the meeting for the remainder of the meeting. The chair shall advise a member of the violation of this rule and the potential consequences after the second violation, and a vote of council without debate for expulsion shall be in order. I don't think I need to say more about that. The other thing I want to speak to is calling a question. So it appears that we have gotten to a point where people say, call a question, and that means to stop debate. That is not how Robert's Rules works. If an individual wants to call a question to stop debate, then we need a second, and we need a motion of the entire council with a majority to determine if we're going to stop debating or stop having a discussion or having a conversation. If the council determines we want to continue with the discussion, then we shall continue. Calling a question is not an authority from the individual that said that to say we're going to stop this discussion and we're going straight to the motion. We haven't practiced that for a long time, and I think the reason we'd never really enforced it is because we had a council up here that was pretty amicable and let everybody speak when they wanted to, and we respected each other, and it was professional. And one of the reasons that I ran for council 14 years ago was because of the lack of professionalism on this dais, and I seem to be going backwards. So, I'm just saying. legislation.
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnik.
Isn't it unfinished business first?
Yes, you are correct.
And along the lines of unfinished business, Madam President, I intend to make a motion to override the mayor's veto on the raise for our part-time police officers. Hearing from our residents, I couldn't agree more. It's time to respect the contribution that our part-time police have made. They haven't had a raise for 2 years, nor have our part-time firefighters, legislation that we'll be voting on tonight. In the mayor's veto, he accompanied it with a 6-page letter, much of which was directed toward me and the Personnel Relations Committee, making a lot of allegations that we hadn't done our homework, that we hadn't looked at the positions in question, that we weren't prepared to make recommendations. And as chair of the committee, I feel obligated to defend its very hard work. I see in the crowd that 3 members of the Personnel Relations Committee, almost the entire committee, is present here today. And these are volunteers. They're not being paid for their service. They were asked to step up and serve Willoughby Hills to give us more insight as a council into the right way to evaluate raises, because as long as I've been involved, both on the Recreation Commission, the Library Board of Trustees, and Council, I've observed that we have not examined raises. We've done across-the-board raises without examining, are we really motivating our employees? Are we rewarding our employees properly? And so this was the time to say we actually are going to take some months to look at what is indeed appropriate. And with these volunteers' help, many of whom have been executives and presidents and lawyers, to take that experience to guide council and make a recommendation that council and the mayor can choose to accept or reject. But in the middle of our work, the mayor proposed an across-the-board raise, and we were forced to respond to it. And ultimately, council tabled that across-the-board raise, recognizing the wisdom of evaluating each position before moving. But then we learned at another Personnel Relations Committee meeting, because our police chief came and joined us and told us that the mayor had given raises to many employees with his administrative discretion. So our committee has been forced to kind of play catch-up in response to the fact that the mayor had chosen to give a 3% raise to everyone who was not already at the top of their pay scale, who was not already maxed out. We decided to pull out the part-time police and firefighters, as well as our chiefs, who are individuals that no member of council can reasonably dispute are more than up for a raise at this point. We try to keep, in general, we hope to keep our part-time police and firefighters treated equivalently to the unions. They have not had raises, as our unions have. And in respect of that, we wanted to pull out that non-controversial set of positions so the council could pass their raise and move forward, not to ignore the other positions, but to continue the hard work of the committee to evaluate them. And we had a lot of statements that the committee had acted too quickly, that there wasn't time for council to consider it, but it was the mayor's action that forced the committee to respond. And now again, we hear the mayor's proposed yet another 3% raise that no one, I presume, has read, and yet he wants us to waive not only the 3-reading rule, but the 2-day notification and pass an ordinance that's incredibly important to this city and our budget without even reading it. I mean, we have a famous former Speaker of the House who once said, let's pass the bill and understand it later. I say no to that type of legislation. And I have to say again, the Personnel Relations Committee has done great homework. A couple council people in the last meetings, and I don't want to name names because I'm not here to put anyone down or criticize, has said that, well, you haven't done a compensation study on the mayor's executive assistant, the mayor's personal assistant. But that's not true. If you look in our binder for non-union employees, we actually did a compensation study, which pulled the salaries and years of service for every mayor's assistant in surrounding cities, and we found that the mayor's assistant is the highest paid of all of them. Now, there was a previous study done by our previous council president that indicated that the mayor's assistant was actually the highest paid for a city our size in the state of Ohio. I'm not our previous council president. I can't verify his numbers. But when you take into account that this individual, this position, is being paid $65,000 a year, and the mayor is proposing a $2,000 raise and saying, I will veto any raises for safety forces unless or until council gives a $2,000 raise to a $65,000 secretary, who, by the way, now makes more than the mayor himself, I think that most of us, most residents, would be very concerned with that. And I'm not saying we are not going to continue to evaluate that position. I'm saying that we should pass the raise for the part-time
Anaheim Police and Fire, and to allege that my committee hasn't done their homework when you haven't even read their work, or you would have known that we'd done this study, to allege that the committee is somehow engaged in age discrimination by proposing raises for police and firefighters because they're largely young people, and to also say that we should give, the mayor also hinged this on giving a 3% raise to his building commissioner. Just 2 weeks ago, the mayor gave a formal written reprimand to the building commissioner, and yet he wants to now give him a 3% raise. I don't know a single executive, manager, employer that reprimands an employee and 2 weeks later gives him a $3,000 raise. I don't see that as good management. That's why personnel relations is here, to put on the brakes, to look at the issues carefully. And once again, I'm not here to single out any person. We're here to look at positions. And the reality is the mayor's assistant is clearly overpaid based on her study, and to ask for a $2,000 raise and to hold hostage our police and firefighters to give a $2,000 raise to a personal assistant who makes $65 already, that's just wrong, Mayor. Thank you.
Is anybody else on council who wants to speak?
Yes, I would.
Councilman Hallam has the floor.
Thank you. While I don't disagree that our fire and safety forces are important to us, my concern is that, you know, Mr. Plechnik and the personnel committee, they task themselves with really looking at all the positions, looking at the pay scales, and making sure, and then advising us as such. To use the mayor as an excuse as to why they, Mr. Plechnik, as chair of that group, decided to put forth these ordinances, I think is ridiculous. There's no rush. They've even said it on the committee. There's no rush. Mr. Delaney has even said that they haven't really accomplished a whole lot yet. They haven't had a chance to meet with these individuals to really make sure. Maybe the job description is inaccurate Mr. Plechnik keeps talking about the mayor's executive assistant. Perhaps her job description isn't accurate. Maybe we need to review what she's doing and make sure that's correct. But besides that, we need to make sure that all these positions are vetted, that the pay scales are looked at, and that council has an opportunity to look at all that information, discuss it openly in front of the public before we vote on it, and to then write these four ordinances, which were done immediately after a personnel committee meeting, and then immediately Mr. Plechnik tried to waive the three reading rule, which he himself has said on numerous occasions. It's very important that we read it three times, that we give the community a chance to respond and give us their input, and then try to pass it immediately, I think is irresponsible. I'm not saying they don't deserve it, I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, but I do think that we need to make sure that we do what we intend to do, which is let the personnel committee do the job, regardless of what the mayor is. Let's not use that as a scapegoat. Let's do our job, let's do the reviews, let's get all the information, and then let's make a decision, as opposed to just trying to use the mayor as a scapegoat and push this stuff through. I think it's a mistake. Thank you.
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe was next. Did you? No? All right.
Madam President, given that we have now read the legislation three times, thoroughly debated it, and heard the public's will, I would make a motion to override the mayor's veto of ordinance number 2016-25.
I have a motion from Vice President Plechnik to overrule the mayor's veto on ordinance 2016-25 to increase the wages by 3% to the part-time police and dispatchers. Do I hear a second?
Second.
I have a second from Councilwoman Micah. Any discussion on this motion?
Madam President.
Councilman Byron has
I also agree with Mr. Hallam. I appreciate our safety forces. I was a chairman of safety and had many discussions with them. And I truly believe that they're special individuals. And so in no way do I think that they don't deserve that. But the other point is that I also respect and I also cherish our non-union people, our administrative people who work very hard for this city. And to exclude them in certain discussions, it just to me is not right. And Mr. Plechnik being admonished in a couple of meetings ago for a personal attack on one of these individuals, it just doesn't sit well with me. I had a chance to talk to our police chief about this issue, and he was
very open about it, and he kind of agrees with me that it should, the parity should be there. We should include these other individuals. We budgeted for that. He seems to think he supports the idea of including these individuals in there. So to me, I support our safety forces, but I really want to see substantive discussions from personnel relations, and I want to see an inclusion with them into this matter. And I think the problem is that I think there's, and I've mentioned this before, I think there's a bias with personnel relations on some individuals, and I don't think that they can be fair and unbiased. So for that reason, I won't support the veto, the motion to override the veto, and I won't support the other two ordinances. Sorry.
Madam President.
Councilwoman Micah.
It's been stated on several occasions by myself and other people that personnel relations is not done yet. That was in the minutes I read, or that were read earlier about personnel relations. Chris, you just said they hadn't gotten, according to Mr. Delaney, they hadn't gotten a whole lot done yet, so there is more work to be done. That's agreed on. These positions in question that have been termed controversial are controversial because we can see why they're controversial. People that are at the top of their salary, they are maxed out. So those can be handled separately at another time after the thorough investigation that you just recommended. But in the meantime, people are waiting, part-time police and fire people that we all agree we support are waiting for a raise and have been waiting for more than 2 years. So what is the big deal about passing these raises for these people?
Madam President?
Councilman Hallam has the floor.
Maybe you didn't understand what I said. What I said was, I don't think it's prudent, I think it's irresponsible not to allow them to investigate all of these positions, look at all the salary bands for all these positions, and make sure that we're in and do their investigations on all of these positions, including the police and fire and all of them, before we just put together an ordinance and pass it. We've all said that it's not right for us to be just putting stuff on and not going through the proper channels and looking at them. And I don't, and yes, police and fire are important, but does that mean that anything that comes up in police and fire, we should just blindly pass it without having it go through due process and make sure that we're doing the right thing? I don't think that makes sense to me, Councilman Mike. I can't imagine anybody up here being okay after everything that we've been through on this council in the last 2 or 3 years, passing something that hasn't properly been vetted, regardless of how important it is or how important these people are. It's, at the end of the day, it's these people's tax dollars, and I think it's important that we investigate and make sure that it's the right thing to do before we pass it without being vetted. Thank you.
Madam President.
Councilman Plushnick has the floor.
If I could say actions speak louder than words, we can all say we support the police, we support the fire, but I'm going to vote for the police, and I'm going to vote for the fire. It's easy to say, it's harder to do, so I'm going to do. And beyond that, we have vetted this legislation. We voted. I made a motion, and I believe that Councilwoman Fellows voted for it as well several years ago to give a 2% raise to our part-time police and firefighters, because we recognized even years ago that they needed a bump in pay to try to put them in equity with their respective unions, because we really should try to do at least rough justice and treat the part-timers the same as the full-timers, because they put their lives in the line just like their counterparts who are full-time in the police and fire departments. And I think that any full-timer would say the same, because many of them are part-timers in other departments and want to be treated fairly there too. So this is something that's been talked about for years, and some people at this dais voted against that 2% raise then, and those people apparently want to vote against the raise for the part-time police and fire again. You can say that you're in support of police and fire till you're blue in the face, but actions speak louder than words. And this legislation was recommended to us by the Personnel Relations Committee, was recommended to us by Rules and Legislation, has been debated in Rules and Legislation, and has gone through 3 readings. After years of discussion on similar ordinances and work, the reality of it is,
these raises are being held hostage for some employees who I think there is some bias involved. But I can say that none of these employees are my campaign supporters or campaign managers, so I'm not the one who might be biased at this dais. The reality is, if there's any bias, it's against the part-time police and firefighters who are being used to justify raises for others. No one wants to talk about certain people individually because they know it's a more difficult debate. They want to group them in with the police and the firefighters, but the truth is their jobs and their responsibilities are very different, and their pay scales are very different. So once again, I'm voting for police and fire. I don't just support you, I vote for you. Thank you.
Madam President.
Councilman Hill.
I'm going to respond to that because he's right. 2 years ago, that did not pass because, once again, there was no study. There was talk about that we needed to do a study. In fact, I think Mr. Pletcher might have even been the one to say that. And that was 2 years ago, almost 2.5 years ago. He's now responsible for doing that. And I was actually very hopeful that that was actually going to occur. It has not occurred. Instead, he's just putting these ordinances up there for us to pass unvetted. And, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. He says these actions more than words, but he hasn't shown any actions towards vetting this stuff and making sure this happened. Instead, it seems more political. I'm for police and fire, and I'm going to vote for them no matter what because I support them, but not really going to do the homework to make sure we're spending your dollars right. I think that's irresponsible and incorrect, and I think the last time that when they proposed this extra 2%, they were once again just segmenting off and looking at just a segment of our administration and of our non-union people, and they did it right in the middle of a council meeting without having any chance for any of us to discuss it. It was like surprise, this is what we're going to do, which again is irresponsible for us to have voted on something that was not vetted. Thank you.
So many of you have heard me share this story before. 6 years ago, this administration came to council asking them to approve a tax increase for our residents to be put on the ballot. I wasn't in approval of it. I felt that the administration needed to look a little deeper to see where they could decrease some of their expenses. There was a very large sign put on Chardon Road, not too far from my street, with the burning house. The inference was that if you don't pass this tax increase, I won't have enough police or fire to come to your house when you call and you need us. That was the market strategy. I wasn't for it. I decided to put it on the ballot, to vote to put on the ballot, although the mayor had said in the Willoughby, in the News Herald, that I wasn't going to do that, and he did that before that even happened. And our residents voted for it because it was for police and fire. It was for safety forces. Now, I'm pretty naive sometimes when it comes to finances in our city, and I'm trying to learn more and more, and Mr. Berkachek has been helping me. And I was naive to think that when the city gave the police department a budget, that once the taxes went up, they would get more on top of their budget. Maybe so we could get more police cars, or maybe more full-time policemen so we'd have more boots on the street. That didn't happen. Because the money that came out of the general fund for the police's budget was decreased. And the tax money was put in place. And their budget was very slightly higher, even though our residents voted to increase taxes. The mayor has told me he's very proud of our part-time policemen. Do you realize that they bring in about $1 million a year in revenue ticketing on 271? Yet we can't give them a 3% raise. They haven't had a raise for a year and a half. When administrative individuals have had raises, and we've been told by administrative individuals that secretaries are equal to police and fire, who put their lives on the line every day for us. We can talk about surveys till we're blue in the face. Years ago, when we did our contracts for our police and our fire, and I asked this question,
question when we started to determine what kind of increases our non-union people would get. I was told that they're going to get the same, so we would have fair and equitable increases across the board. That doesn't happen anymore. The police have one contract with increases, 2% this year, 1% that year, 1% another year. The fire has a totally different contract with increases. And to be fair, they've negotiated other things, so they didn't want high increases. A couple years ago, the mayor decided that he would give increases to administration based on the Consumer Product Index, which is how council gets their raises or not. So our increases for all of our people are all over the board now, and there's no equity in it at all. I asked the mayor why he didn't use the CPI this year, because it's in a negative. Okay. We increase taxes for our safety forces. That's where our tax dollars are going. I have a responsibility for the health, welfare, and the safety of this community, and I took an oath to do that. And I will support them in passing these ordinances because they deserve it. Thank you. I have a motion on the table from Vice President Pleshnik to override the mayor's veto on ordinance 2016-25 to increase the wages by 3% to the part-time police and dispatchers, and it was seconded by Councilwoman Micah. Do you have a legal opinion, Mr. Lobe?
Yeah, just a cautionary one. It takes 5 affirmative votes to override it.
We understand that.
Just making sure. Thank you.
Vicki, call the roll.
Hellum.
No.
Micah.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Byro.
No.
Bellows.
Yes.
Phoebe.
Yes.
The motion fails, because as Mr. Lobe said, we needed 5 votes. It's no surprise. Okay, let's go on to our regular legislation this evening. All right, Nikki, where is it? Here it is. All right, ordinance 2016-22. This is on third reading. Vicki, please read the caption.
An ordinance amending Part 9, Streets, Utilities, and Public Services, Title 5, Other Public Services, Chapter 941, Use of Public Property, Section 941.05, Campbell Park and Campbell Park Field, Subsection C, Section 941.07, Willoughby Hills Community Center, Subsections G and H of Codified Ordinances of the City of Willoughby Hills, and repealing conflicting legislation.
Madam President.
Councilman Byro.
Move it. Council adopts ordinance number 2016-22.
Second. I have a motion from Councilman Byro, a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt ordinance 2016-22. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
If I could just say, 2 years ago when I was chair of the Rec Committee, we did a review of the fees, and the Recreation Commission was incredibly helpful in reviewing it. Although I have personally reviewed the fees, and they appear to be reasonable to me, I'm really relying on the Rec Commission's wisdom here, as I think we all are. So hopefully we'll continue to carefully monitor through the Rec Department whether or not our usage goes up or down based on these fees, but I'm inclined to trust the Rec Commission's recommendation on this and move forward. Hopefully it results and more revenue for the city.
Thank you. Vicki?
Hellum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Byro.
Yes.
Bellows.
Yes.
Beebig.
No.
Ordinance 2016-22 passes, is adopted. The next one is ordinance 2016-26. This is third reading. Vicki, will you please read the caption?
An ordinance providing for the wages and benefits of the part-time hourly members of the Fire Department of the City of Willoughby Hills, repealing conflicting legislation, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to adopt ordinance number 2016-26.
Second. I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik, a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt ordinance 2016-26. Is there any further discussion on this motion?
Madam President.
Councilman Hallam.
I'd just like to ask Council to please just table these and let's have the discussion and make sure it's the right thing to do before we just pass these. They're really
really has not been a proper research, study, and vetting of these. I'm just not comfortable until we've done that. That's what Mr. Plechnik set out to do. I think he should do it. I really do. And I think the personnel committee has a right to finish their job before we just do this. So I can't support that, knowing that we haven't done what we said we were going to do prior to doing this.
Madam President, two things. Once again, actions speak louder than words, and I don't just support you. I vote for you, firefighters, and I'm going to vote for you tonight. And second, I'd really love to hear from Councilman Hallam or Councilman Biro what their problem is with giving a 3% raise to the part-time police and fire. Saying it's not vetted or there hasn't been enough discussion is pretty easy to say, but let's be substantive. What problem do you have with giving them a 3% raise? What research have you done that shows that this is wrong or too much or that they don't deserve it? I want to put it back on you, because you're the ones voting no on the firefighters, so you tell us what your actual substantive reason is. Thank you.
I would be happy to. I would just like you to do what you said you were going to do, John. I'd like you to hold the meetings. I'd like you to do the study, do the research, do the homework before you write an ordinance. That's what I'd like you to do. You talk about it all the time. You've been talking about it for the last 2.5 years, about all these things you were going to do. You haven't done it. You just wrote an ordinance. Can you just do the homework you said you were going to do and then bring the ordinance and let us talk about it instead of just throwing it at us and trying to wave it and pass it through and say your action more than words? Let's take it back on yourself. Look in the mirror. Let's see some action. Let's do some homework. That's what you're supposed to be doing, is doing your homework first. You haven't done it. If your homework is writing this ordinance and then sitting there and using political speak to try and show your support for fire and police, well, I think it's ridiculous. That's my personal opinion about it. Thank you.
Madam President,
Councilman,
I think the word ridiculous is unfortunate. I think we want a more civilized discussion than that, but put that to the side. Once again, Councilman Hallam has not given you a single reason why he's not voting for this legislation other than he says it needs to be vetted more. Let me say, in the two enormous binders of research that our Personnel Relations Committee has compiled with the help of our council clerk that we have worked on and read both in and out of committee, we find that a 3% raise for part-time police and fire is roughly equivalent to what the unions have received over the same period, given that they've not received a raise for 2 years. And by the way, that's not my opinion. That was stated to us by Mayor Wager himself. So I'm sorry, Mr. Hallam, but we have done our homework. You're voting no for your own reasons, but apparently you choose not to share them. Thank you.
Madam President?
I am sharing them.
The fact that you compiled all this paperwork from the past and read it is one thing. But what you're supposed to be doing is looking at reviewing what is in today and looking at and doing a study with today as today, not just looking at the past. We can't just look at the past and that's it. You have to look at what's going on now and do that study, and probably you ought to have some professionals come in and do it. I don't think Mr. Delaney is quite comfortable with this at all, based on the comments he's made. And I think he would actually like to have a chance to look at it a little more further. He's even said there's no hurry. So your own committee seems to be in agreement that maybe there's no hurry.
Madam President, of course Mr. Delaney agrees that we should spend more time looking at positions. However, he has just asked us in public portion, I think we should listen when someone speaks, to pass this legislation tonight. So while I'm sure he agrees we need to continue to look at all the issues, and we have to revisit raises each and every year, Mr. Hallam, he also believes that now is the time to give rough equivalents to our non-union police and firefighters as their full-time counterparts have. And I've not heard a single substantive reason from anyone why they don't support this legislation. They simply say we haven't done enough. And frankly, the Personnel Relations Committee has done more in 6 months than it's done the past 2 years. I was a member of the Personnel Relations Committee in the first session of council 2 years ago that I joined council, and we've done more in 6 months than that committee, in my view, did in 2 years in terms of compiling information on all the employees. And no, the past isn't everything, but we're talking about the present. These are the current union contracts that were negotiated between the city and the unions based on market rates and what the market and the arbitrators would bear. There's a reason why those rates were set. Unless you're alleging that the city and our police and fire departments are completely incompetent in their negotiations, which I'm not here to do. I'm not going to belabor a dead horse, and I'm not going to respond to Mr. Hallam again. I'll just say one more time, actions speak louder than words. I'm going to not just say I support the fire, I'm going to vote for our firefighters. Thank you.
Mr. Howell, would you like to support him?
I'm done with him. I'm sorry. Thank you.
All right. We have a motion on the floor from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Mica to adopt Ordinance 2016-26. Vicki, please call the roll.
Hello.
No.
Mica.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Biro.
No.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Ordinance 2016-26 has been adopted.
Without the emergency.
Without the emergency.
Passes, but as a matter of law, five affirmative to make it an emergency, and four affirmative to make it a passage, like last time. So it passes, but without the emergency tag, which is provided by case law. So it passes, but without the emergency, so it goes into effect in 30 days, depending upon whatever the mayor does or does not do, as a matter of law.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Ordinance 2016-27 is also on third reading. Vicki, please read the caption.
An ordinance fixing the compensation for the position of police chief, repealing conflicting legislation, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to adopt ordinance number 2016-27.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik, a second from Councilwoman Mica to adopt ordinance 2016-27. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki.
Hellum.
No.
Mica.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Biro.
No.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The motion passes to adopt ordinance 2016-27 without declaring an emergency since we did not have five votes. Apparently got it done. Ordinance 2016-29 is on second reading. This has a time-sensitive nature to it, as I reported in my Rules and Legislation Committee. And to waive the three reading rule, we need five votes. What is the wishes of council?
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into an agreement with Tower Corp for the lease of certain surplus city property located at 2454 River Road and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Byron.
Move that council waives the three reading rule on ordinance number 2016-29.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Byron, second from Vice President Pleshnik to waive the three reading rule on ordinance 2016-29. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President. This has been discussed very exhaustively in our finance committee meetings. There's substantial financial benefit to the city. Assuming that planning and zoning is able to work for an amicable way of putting the towers in, hopefully utilizing in the residential area by the Grange a camouflaged tree-type tower, I think this will be great for the city, and it will also give us a modest improvement to our budget. I think this has been thoroughly vetted, and I'm very much in support of passing it tonight. Thank you.
May I comment just a moment? Just because something has even a proposed location here on a sketch does not mean that they have to do it, so don't rely upon that. Rather, rely upon the terms of the contract. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Because that location will be dependent upon planning, entrances, driveways, a multitude of things. So I see some diagrams here, and I want you to vote on the concept and the numbers rather than on where the diagram is and make sure that, because if it comes up, I wouldn't rule that you made a contingent on it. So I want to make that clear for everybody voting. Thank you.
Any other discussion on waiving the three reading rule? Vicki.
Hellum.
Yes.
Mica.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Biro.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
No.
The three reading rule has been waived on ordinance 2016-27.
No, 29.
29.
Madam President.
Councilman Byron.
Move that council adopts ordinance number 2016-29.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Byron, second from Vice President Pleshnik, to adopt ordinance 2016-29. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none.
Hello.
Yes.
Mica.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Byron.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
ordinance 2016-29 has been adopted. The next one is ordinance 2016-30. This is on second reading. Vicki, why don't you read the caption first?
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into an agreement with Tower Corp for the lease of certain surplus property, a vacant lot located on West Miller Road, and declaring an emergency.
What's the wishes of council?
Madam President.
Councilman Byrow.
Move that council waives the three reading rule on ordinance 2016-30.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Byrow, second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three reading rule on ordinance 2016-30, and we need 5 votes to waive the three reading rule. Any discussion on that motion?
Madam President.
Vice President Plushnick.
If I could just say 2016-30 and 2016-29 are really interrelated. You wouldn't pass one without the other. We've been negotiating with Tower Co. on both towers simultaneously, if I'm correct. That's what the administration's been doing, and for the same reasons I support 29, I support 30. Thank you.
For the discussion on waiving the three reading rule. Vicki?
Hallam?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Plushnick?
Yes.
Byrow?
Yes.
Bellows?
Yes.
Beebe?
No.
The three reading rule on ordinance 2016-30 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Byrow?
Move that council adopts ordinance number 2016-30.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Byrow, second from Vice President Plushnick to adopt ordinance 2016-30. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, thank you.
Hallam?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Plushnick?
Yes.
Byrow?
Yes.
Bellows?
Yes.
Beebe?
Yes.
Ordinance 2016-30 has been adopted. The next one is ordinance 2016-34. Vicki, can you read?
An ordinance to declare city vehicles and or equipment as surplus property and granting authorization to sell said surplus vehicles and equipment on the open market upon such terms and at such prices as are deemed most advantageous to the city of Willoughby Hills and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Councilman Byrow.
Move the council waives the three reading rule on ordinance number 2016-34.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Byrow, a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three reading rule on ordinance 2016-34. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Plushnick?
Yes.
Byrow?
Yes.
Bellows?
Yes.
Beebe?
Yes.
The three reading rule on ordinance 2016-34 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Byrow.
Move that council adopts ordinance number 2016-34.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Byrow, a second from Vice President Plushnick to adopt ordinance 2016-34. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Plushnick.
Yes.
Byrow.
Yes.
Bellows.
Yes.
Beebe.
Yes.
Ordinance 2016-34 has been adopted. The last one for this evening is resolution number 2016-9.
A resolution recognizing Chagrin River Watershed Partners on its 20th anniversary.
Madam President.
Councilman Byrow.
Move that council waives the three reading rule on resolution number 2016-9.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Byrow, second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three reading rule on resolution number 2016-9. Is there any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, Vicki.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Plushnick.
Yes.
Byrow.
Yes.
Bellows.
Yes.
Beebe.
Yes.
The three reading rule on resolution 2016-9 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilman Byrow.
Move that council adopts resolution number 2016-9.
Second.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Byrow, a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt resolution number 2016-9. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none.
Hallam.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Plushnick.
Yes.
Byrow.
Yes.
Bellows.
Yes.
Beebe.
Yes.
Resolution number 2016-9 has been adopted. Okay. New business.
Madam President.
Councilman Byrow.
Motion to declare a public purpose for the following Recreation Commission events. Number one is a 9/11 memorial service remembering those that perished during a terrorist attack on September 11, 2001, and honor our first responders and to protect us daily, who protect us daily. And the second is a community event to be held during the month of September 2016, encouraging the Recreation Commission.
commission to consider a date other than September 11th. It's my understanding that that's just a recommendation, and they can, you know, do what they want. So,
so I have a motion from Councilman Biro. Second. I have a motion from Councilman Biro, a second from Councilwoman Micah, to declare a public purpose for the following Recreation Commission events: a 9/11 memorial service remembering those that perished during a terrorist attack on September 11, 2001, and to honor our first responders who protect us daily, and a community event to be held during the month of September 2016, encouraging the Recreation Commission to consider a date other than September 11. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam President.
Councilman Phoebe.
I did have one follow-up question to Denise Edwards, that there was mentioned in the minutes that Lynn Hallam's brother would be a DJ at this event. Was that to be paid?
Yes, and there is nothing that is completely settled as of yet on that. We talked to a couple DJs. Price-wise, so far, he was the cheapest. We've not proceeded with anything financially as far as planning goes or putting anything in place. That was all just part of the notes from our meeting with Jennifer and the committee.
What's the amount?
$150 for 3 hours.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question follow-up with our law director. Can, as council, can we vote to have funds expended to a relative of a sitting council member or a member of the body that makes the recommendations?
I don't want to get into a long debate from last time, but the answer is you can't. And if this body took a difference last time, you're here to put an argument on that. This body has, especially in the years.
Sir, I can't hear you.
It is permissible, especially now that it's been put out there. You can decide whether you should vote for it or not vote for it based upon that, but the illegality of it, and the answer is no. Legal. Thank you.
I might suggest that in voting on your DJ, that Mrs. Hallam abstained from voting on her brother being the DJ.
Madam President?
Vice President.
If I could just clarify, I don't believe that we're voting to hire a DJ today. I believe that that would be selected by the administration and or the rec department and or the rec commission. And so it's a separate question whether we declare a public purpose as to put whether we're hiring a relative of a council person. Am I correct in that understanding?
Correct.
Thank you.
We are only voting on this, what's on the paper. Any other discussion or questions?
Madam President. My understanding was that we could vote to hold a service at a non-public property event, but that the other details of that would be something that would be separate, because I am in favor of having a memorial service at the VFW, but because of the considerations of that I expressed earlier in the meeting to those that were here, for another city event to be, you know, almost in the same week, that I think it's not a prudent use of our resources, and also the tone of the day being somber and being respectful and geared toward our first responders. I just, some of the things that I've read in the memo and some of the conversations that I've heard about bounce houses and DJs and a swing band, and that, it doesn't sit well with me. So on that, I'm conflicted as to voting yes, that we want this portion of it, but no, I don't feel comfortable with that portion of it. So I don't exactly know what to do on that matter, because I thought perhaps we were going to break that out separately. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Madam President, I'd just like to respond to Mr. Fiebig. I was present at Recreation Committee and Commission, spent quite a bit of time hearing the explanations and giving input, and as sitting in for Councilwoman Greer last night at the meeting and also attending the regular Recreation Committee meeting, it was just our recommendations that Madam President Fellows and myself made to Denise and the other members. So it wasn't council was not charged with administering the event as such. We were just offering our suggestions, and we came to the conclusion that we do wholeheartedly support their event. We made our concerns known, we made our suggestions, but they can't. We left the motion open-ended as to the date, as to the location, so then they can make their decisions, and they then will be responsible for that event based on the decisions that they make. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Madam President, if I could just say, in voting yes for this, I'm going to trust our VFW to honor September 11th the same way they've honored Veterans Day and Memorial Day ceremonies that I appreciate every year, and I'm grateful that they came out to share their thoughts with us, so I'll be voting yes tonight. Thank you.
As a final thought, thank you for your comments on that as I'm making up my mind, but I do see the council's responsibility to appropriate funds. So, therefore, since the administration has come to council to ask for these funds, I'm going to ask the administration, haven't you? Isn't that correct? Am I wrong?
Councilman Fiebig, we vetted this in committee, and I read in my minutes
2,500.
President Fellows indicated from information distributed from the finance director, and I believe that information went to all council members, no ordinance is necessary to appropriate funds, and I'm paraphrasing, as the funds are available. So the only thing that came before council was to have a motion of public purpose.
Okay. All right. Fine. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Well, again, I wanted to express not only my own opinion, but I did talk to a few people in the city. And this is the feedback that I got from them. Is 9/11 is a special kind of an event. It's not, you know, when I mentioned a bounce house and that sort of thing, I think they reeled at that. So I just want to, I'm sharing as I'm supposed to, the response that I got from the community and people that I talked with. So I'll vote for it then, and I'll trust the judgment of people. And I wanted to be sure to express my concerns and that of the residents that I talked with today and over the last few days.
Vicki?
Hallam?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Byro?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
Motion to declare public purpose for the Recreation Commission for the 9/11 event on September 11th, and the community event to be held at their discretion has passed. Anything for the good of the order? For the good of the community? Yes. We need to
really
address this?
No, not really for the good of the community. It's really good. I should have done this in unfinished business. But the woman from Pebblebrook?
Pebblebrook?
I didn't catch your name.
Mary.
Bye. Mary, if you could just...
Bye.
Before we leave, can you just give me your name and number? You might be lucky, because tomorrow morning, I, the engineer of the building department, and the representative of the building down Chardon Road to look at things, and I'll drag Pete, our engineer who knows about water, possibly in the morning, so can you just tell, meet with me and Pete before you leave tonight, okay? Thank you.
Okay. Before we adjourn, thank you, Tom. Before we adjourn, the mayor had given us an ordinance, a replacement ordinance for 2016-20. This will be placed in committee so that we can fully review it and see if we need any studies before we move forward.
Madam President, I remind the community that there's a Red Cross blood drive this Sunday from 9 to 1 at St. Noel across the street. You can register at redcrossblood.org. And we encourage you to donate blood if you can. Thank you.
Madam President, if I could just share, Cleveland City Hall will be celebrating the 25th anniversary of Slovenian independence this Friday, so hail Slovenia, sem Slovenets.
Let me give a clarification to that clarification. The true date is June 25th.
True enough.
Anything else? Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Byrow, second from Councilman Fiebig, to adjourn the meeting. There's no discussion on the motion. Vicki, please call the roll.
Pelham.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Lesnick.
Yes.
Byrow.
Yes.
Bellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The meeting's adjourned at 8:51 this evening. Thank you, everybody.